Hi, Craig Wilson here, and welcome to the Making the Media podcast. Major trade shows like IBC and NAB are often seen as a bellwether for the media industry, an opportunity to sense the mood within the technology vendor community and the wider broadcast sector. But beyond anecdotal evidence around how many people were there and what the show was like in the halls, it can be difficult to build a clear picture. Well, the trade shows are also where the organisation, the IABM, publishes its State of Media Tech reports, providing hard evidence based on survey data on the key issues, concerns and areas for optimism for the industry overall. It's an extremely detailed report, covering a wide range of topics, from the growth of AI and ML to areas for investment, from training to total cost of ownership. To unpack all of that, I spoke with the IABM's head of knowledge, Lorenzo Zani. But before we got into the nuts and bolts of the report's findings, I asked them how they gathered the survey data.
We have a mixed, hybrid approach to market research. So what we have is both quantitative hard data on which is on the industry, which is based on the survey we do twice a year before NAB and before IBC show as well. And on this survey, we ask a variety of questions to both media companies and media technology suppliers on the media technology strategy, on their investment strategy, and where they see things going next. So that is the quantitative data that we use, which is, of course, part of the report. We also do regularly in-depth interviews with both media companies and technology suppliers on trends in different parts of the content supply chain and covering some of the similar topics as well. And we really try to connect the dots between these two things. So trying to find the sweet spot between the quantitative evidence we have and qualitative evidence as well. So it's a mixture of these two things for most part.
Yeah, it's interesting in mixing the two, because as you look through the report, there are some things that may appear to be counterintuitive about areas of investment, for example. We'll come on to that in a little bit. For the report that was just launched at IBC, what are the sort of headline findings from that?
Yeah, so in terms of the report, I would say that we always start by talking about confidence in the sector. The confidence is positive. So what we've tried to show is that it is slightly down compared to last year, and the mood in the industry is a bit darkening compared to the last 2 years, particularly due to the impact of macro headwinds on macroeconomic pressure on the media technology sector. And that was one of the highlights we've identified as part of this research, because we've tried to show that has an impact on media technology investment as well. One of those kind of effects is the impact of, for example, on talent, the fact that talent is difficult to find. The cost of talent has gone up, so some companies have relied, for example, to outsourcing to kind of compensate for this trend. I would say another big impact is the fact that media companies are looking for more efficiency when they're spending technology, efficiency in technology solutions, and that has also led to the rise of some technologies, including, for example, artificial intelligence and machine learning, which has been one of the highlights of 2023. There have been many other highlights, I think, because the report is very dense with information, but I would just highlight those three as the main ones.
Yeah, let's maybe explore those in a little bit more detail. So you talked there about the drive for efficiency, and this is certainly something that we see when we, you know, speak to our customers as well. How are people trying to achieve that? Is it through a recognition that budgets are not going up, so as a consequence, they need to do more with what they have? Or is it that they're refocusing their investment efforts into different areas?
I would say that they are refocusing more on investment efforts into different areas, while at the same time trying to do a little bit more with less in some other areas as well. I think another finding of the report, which was probably one of the most interesting one for me, is that we've seen media technology budgets growing despite the financial pressure, which highlights that we are in a transformation period, so that because of all these new technologies emerging in the sector, media companies are compelled to invest in technology because they see that as critical to their future success, and I would say rightly so, from my perspective. So I think there are some key areas in which investments are being made, but there are other areas, probably if we look at, you know, a media kind of traditional media company, we always say that in the linear part, maybe things media companies are trying to be a little bit more efficient, while most of the investment is going into digital part, which is what we've seen in the last 3 years or so, particularly after COVID.
You also mentioned about talent scarcities. Again, this is an issue we've actually explored a couple of times on the podcast. Do you think this is driving the companies involved to actually focus more on internal training and actually investing in the staff that they've currently got because they're having problems of attracting talent from elsewhere?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Craig. I think this is being tackled in different ways. I think it's interesting about talent that the picture changes in different geographies because in some geographies, the talent issue is more of an issue. For example, speaking to an Indian broadcaster, they were telling me that in India, talent is not very much of a problem at the moment. It was maybe, but now, because of the fact that many large tech companies have laid off employees, they're finding a lot of talent at the moment. I think another highlight is that more media companies are looking for training and support from vendors, which coupled with the result on outsourcing, I think reflects the fact that, you know, media companies might be having a talent problem, a talent issue. I think it's important for them to invest in training their employees, though I also think that it's interesting because a lot of them have invested in insourcing media technology development in the last few years, and we've seen that going down in the last research. So maybe when you look at technical talent, and I'm just talking about technical talent at the moment, so, you know, software development, engineers, some of them are making a decision about, do we want to do insourcing or not? Because if they don't want to do insourcing in the future and they just want to rely on vendors, maybe training that talent is not like a good option, because having an insourcing capability in-house, it's a very costly business, and it's something that media companies have discovered, particularly in the last few years. So, and even that, you know, always depends on the context, depends on the company, because large media companies will always have a kind of in-house department, but some medium to small broadcasters may have revalued their decisions when it comes to that.
So one thing that you mentioned there was, you know, there have been some layoffs with a large media technology companies in certain sectors, and that has perhaps freed up some talent. But equally, are media technology companies having issues around retention of talent because the competition is much wider? It's not just media technology companies. The skill set is such that the skill set that you could have working in an IT department of a media tech company could actually make you attractive to many other companies.
Exactly. And that's, you know, one of probably the most important cause of the talent shortage is the fact that technology is converging. A lot of technologies that are important to media today are general purpose technologies that are used in other industries as well. So you're finding yourself in competition with other industries that might have bigger pockets as well. In lots of cases, they have bigger pockets and they can pay more for talent. So that is certainly a bigger issue. And we did a research on talent, specific on talent this year, and we found that that is one of the most important causes. In terms of retention, I think this is something that is very much disregarded. I've heard only a few companies talking about it, but it's something that is very important, particularly because we need to consider, you know, everything that we provide to employees in the industry. So not just pay, but also, you know, working conditions, which we've seen in our research that are very important. You know, diversity and inclusion is something that particularly the younger generations are very much interested in. So the whole kind of, it's a multi-dimensional kind of offering. It's not just about pay, but pay is certainly important.
So let's talk about AI and ML. Everywhere you go at the moment, everyone is talking about it. There's a phrase I've used a couple of times, which I think is cautious excitement, because I think people are excited by it, but they don't really know actually what it's going to mean. What did the research say about the beginnings of the impact of AI on the industry? Because AI itself has been around for a while. It's just in the last year
has
an explosion of interest in it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I think, you know, last year has been a kind of flagship year for AI because of what's happened, particularly because of the growth of generative AI at the consumer level. So a lot of us have started to use tools such as ChatGPT in our daily jobs, which has been amazing. And one of the things that has been amazing for me has been the speed of this growth and the speed of development of this technology, and the money, the investment that is going into it, particularly from, you know, the large technology companies. The research has highlighted that adoption of AI has increased, and AI as a technology in the trends roadmap of the sector has grown from 6th to 3rd place. Compared to the post-COVID period, so from 2020 to 2022. So we've seen a lot more interest in AI and a lot of more investment in it. I think one of the most interesting things is that the fact that from an application perspective, AI in the last, let's say, 5 years has been mostly applied to for example, content management and content monetization, while we are seeing now much more of a focus in less mature segments such as content creation and production, which we think is correlated also with the rise of generative AI, which promises to be more of a relevant tool to these parts of the industry.
Yeah, it really is very interesting. One thing I would mention is obviously with Avid, we did some demos at IBC of some AI technology, and we've got some stuff on our website and videos on YouTube, which is really interesting that people are looking at it just now. You talked there about the fact that it's the generative AI area, if you like, that people are becoming, you know, much more interested in. But I think there is that sense of caution about how the models are being trained, about people's, are people's intellectual property being utilized in terms of training the models and things like that as well. And I thought it was interesting in the report where in the section around cloud, it still highlights security as a concern that people have around cloud. And often when you're talking about cloud services, that can then involve AI as well. So is it the case that these things are sort of conflating together to give people concern within the industry about what AI may actually mean?
Definitely. I think you know, there is a lot of controversy about AI as well when it comes to, you know, what's happening in the industry. It was one of the causes of the strike. It was not the only cause, but the strike in Hollywood, I think he allies the fact that generative AI can have a big impact on the sector if it's left unchecked, basically. And also, I think that there might be a lot of issues around privacy. You mentioned the models that remain black boxes, and the fact that large technology companies hold the keys to these models, but we don't know, you know, how these models are kind of designed. It might be part of the kind of the AI development process, because I think there might be need for different stakeholders to get together and maybe for these companies to become a bit more open, which, you know, at the moment I find difficult to that is to I find difficult to see how it could happen in the short term, but I think, you know, we as you say, as you rightly say, we need to remain kind of cautious about AI. So understanding, you know, how it can help the sector, but also understanding what might be the risk. But I think that applies to almost any technology. And yeah, security, I think it's a big focus for media companies. It's not very always very much discussed, but I think it's something that has become more important, particularly because of the geopolitical turbulence that there's been in the last year and a half or so. So a lot more media companies have become concerned about security, and they're still some of them still have some kind of, barriers when it comes, for example, to cloud adoption. And we found, interestingly, that cost before was the most important one, and now security has come back to first place, which is, you know, something that shouldn't be disregarded, in my opinion.
It's interesting when you look through the reports, because one of the things it does is it looks back at trends from the last couple of years and then obviously reflects on where things sit today. One thing that comes through in one of the sections is about total cost of ownership, and total cost of ownership being a sort of key driver, and it's stayed fairly consistent over the last number of years. Do you think that reflects a sort of wider economic climate that actually TCO is really what people are interested in?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, as you rightly point out, it's remained quite the same in the last few years. Some of the other things have changed. I mentioned training and support, and, you know, we've seen efficiency and other variables associated with financial scrutiny by media companies increasing in 2023. But total cost of ownership has remained the top driver. And interestingly, is the top driver behind cloud adoption as well, or one of the top drivers behind cloud adoption. So I think that has been, you know, a constant focus by media companies in the last few years, really.
One area that I mentioned earlier on, there are some findings that appear to be counterintuitive, and I want to bring up one of them, which is about sustainability.
Yeah.
Sustainability is ranked very highly when people talk about, you know, things they're concerned about within the industry. But then when you actually look at the decisions that are being made, that perhaps it doesn't have as much of an influence on that. Is that a fair thing to interpret from the report?
Very fair. I think I agree with you. I think there is a lot of talk about sustainability, but there is a lot of there are a lot of cost pressures, as we said. There are a lot of macroeconomic headwinds that are impacting media companies' strategies. So there might be trade-offs, inevitable trade-offs between, you know, sustainability and becoming more efficient as well. So probably solutions that make media companies more sustainable should think about making them a little bit more efficient as well, though this is not always the case. But if the two things are more aligned, probably we could do a little bit more for the planet as well. And I think this is an area where we will do more research in the future. We published a report on sustainability. It's a very complex topic, and it's never what it seems, I think. It's always counterintuitive, and I think it's very complex and very interesting. So I think it's something we should remain cautious about as well, a little bit like with AI.
Another area that that's talked about in the report is actually companies looking for other verticals beyond the traditional in terms of broadcast. Explain a little bit about what that means and the kind of verticals that people are looking at.
Yeah, this is another topic I absolutely love, because I think it's a very interesting trend, and it's very much related to what I was talking about when I mentioned technology convergence. So the fact that general purpose technologies are becoming more important in different industries, and particularly in the media industry, and that convergence is leading to a situation in which media technology can be applied in other industries, because it, for example, that are not media, because, for example, these non-media industries are using more technologies to communicate with their employees or to engage with the consumers in a different way. But I also think that non-media technologies are also being used a little bit more in the media industry as well, or you know, technologies that were not created for necessarily for the media industry are being used more in the media industry. So it goes both ways, I think. But what we've noticed is that particularly the corporate industry, an industry that is not a media industry, so let's say companies such as banks or other companies that are not media companies, are increasingly relying on media technology, as I said, to both engage a bit more with their employees. In the post-COVID period, it was to engage with them remotely. Now it might be to engage with them in a hybrid setting, as I said, which is similar to what I said before about the media industry. But also to engage with consumers with, for example, more videos and more media produced on their brands. So it could be about external communications as well, and events and things like that. And I think this is a very interesting trend because it's impacting media technology, because a lot of vendors are realizing that they can tap into new industries for new money as well. They are adapting their technology solutions sometimes to reflect that. So technology, I think, is becoming more versatile, so applicable to different use cases, and more usable, so usable by non-technical staff as well, as a result of this trend as well, which is why I think it's super interesting, because I think it will continue.
One thing that's interesting from the report is that you have various quotes, both from people on the technology vendor side and also on the customer side. And I think one thing that comes through that's clear from that is that on both sides of the fence, if you like, we're in the midst of transformation. And people are at different stages of where that sort of transformation lies. Do you see any end to this, or do you see this just continuing on? This is just the way the industry is.
I have to say, I respond with honesty. I think there's no end to this, in my opinion, at least in the short term. I think it will continue, and particularly because of what I said about technologies such as AI and ML changing so rapidly and so continuously, I think transformation is just here to stay with us, and it's just almost a new kind of mindset for media technology executives on both sides of the industry. So I think it's just here to stay.
And I think that poses challenges both for the vendors and also for the media companies themselves. When they talk about investments, are they talking about like 1 year, 3 year, 5 years? What's the sort of horizon they have if we are in this midst of transformation that's just going to continue on?
I would say it depends on the type of investment, but generally, if we look at the average investment made by a media company, for example, before it was much of a longer horizon. Sorry, now it's a much shorter horizon because of what we just talked about. The pace of change has increased dramatically, so the horizon cannot be too long. Otherwise, you know, you are at the middle point in the horizon, and what you're doing might have already become outdated. So I think the horizons of technology investment have shortened dramatically because of this. And this is something that media companies are taking into account when making investment decisions as well. And I think vendors should adapt accordingly in terms of the provision of technology solutions.
That brings me on to the sort of follow-on question for that is it partly because of that that's driving subscription, because subscription is becoming a much bigger part of the industry?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of it. And that's why I think we've seen that before COVID as well, starting a shift in terms of culture at media companies, saying that we we don't want something that we buy and then it's the same for a lot of years and we don't get any support for vendors, but we want something that constantly changes. And that's very much a model that is consistent with the subscription model, because the subscription model, you know, consists of, you know, kind of a constant feedback loop between a customer and a supplier in terms of the updates that are required. And then the updates are rolled back to the customer. So I think the model, the subscription model is ideal for that. Although, you know, there are specific cases in which media companies might want different different solutions, but I think that's why we've seen the growth of subscriptions, because of the change in the pace of change.
Lorenzo, really, really interesting to talk to you and to unpack that. I mean, the report itself is obviously available on the IABM website. I would urge everyone to go and have a look at it there. It has lots and lots of really interesting information. And not just that, there's lots of great information on the website for lots of people to take advantage of. And thank you for combining all of that together for us and unpacking it for us today. There is one question I ask everyone in the podcast, Lorenzo, so I will ask you, which is, what is it, if anything, that keeps you up at night?
Oh, good question. I think if we look at the world, what's happened in the world in the last few years, I think keeps me up at night in terms of, you know, conflict. And I've recently seen Oppenheimer at the cinema, which I loved, which talks about, you know, the creation of the atomic bomb. But it's something that, you know, sometimes I think about from kind of our collective perspective, and one thing that keeps me up at night, I would say, from an individual perspective, I always try to be in balance between my professional life and my personal life. Though I always have a fear of complacency, so a fear of getting left behind, because of which I think is a very current fear, because of, you know, what we've discussed in this podcast as well, which is, you know, things are changing more quickly. So I always try to think about, you know, how can I become better at work, but at the same time not disregarding my personal life as well, because I want to, you know, I don't want to get left behind in my personal life as well. So dedicating, you know, my time to my hobbies, et cetera, et cetera. So I think being in balance between these two things is what keeps me up at night sometimes, because it's never perfect, is it? So it's you're always, you know, behind on in an area and a little bit forward in another one. So I would probably respond in this way, though not sure if it's common.
Nothing wrong with trying to strike a balance between our work and our personal lives. A good message to end on from Lorenzo there. If you want to find out more about the topics we discussed, check out the IABM's website, where you can download the report. Also, check out the show notes for a recent webinar from Avid highlighting some tech previews on potential new AI enhancements with Media Central, plus links to an article about recent newsroom developments too. What do you think about the key findings in the report? Let us know on social. I am Craig, AW1969 on X and Instagram, or you can email us at makingthemedia@avid.com. That's all for this episode. Thanks to Lorenzo, thanks to our producer Matt Diggs, and thanks most of all to you for listening. Join me, Craig Wilson, next time for more Making the Media.